Hey Joseph, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing?
I'm good. What podcast is this?
Episode 7.
And so it's 2022, 5-5. And today we want to welcome you to Training with Casey. And we're going to talk about the superpowers that Name and Explain give to trainers. So come join us as we explore this on.
Training with Casey.
Where we, what the heck do we do here? We
Where
explore.
we
Yeah,
explore
you go.
animal training and living
And,
our best lives with animals.
oh yeah. And you are
The producer,
Joseph Laughlin. And here's your
Casey
host.
Cover.
I'm Casey Cover. We're going to do it, guys. We'll get through it. So we're going to talk about name and explain. I'll bet you most of you have never even heard of that. And you know why? Because I made it up. Or actually, one of our trainers in the UK, Lucy Dentith, made it up. And what it refers to is the fact that if you simply share information with animals, your relationship will improve in ways that you just cannot even imagine right now. It's hard to believe it because this isn't even a training skill. You don't have to know anything about training. You don't have to have special timing, which I do. Okay. I just want it to be known. But what you do have to do is always consider the animal and the fact that if you're going to do something together, they would like to know. They don't want to be the last one to know what's going to happen. So, for our perception modification certification course, where these trainers learn to be Zen with this complicated but really powerful process, I had made a video and I said, there are five superpowers with Name and Explain. And then I proceeded to talk about them all and I only named four. And so the class is like searching for number five, and they asked in the class notes, I'm like, whoops. So I had to make a new recording. And we discussed it in the class. And as we did, we actually figured out that there were 11 really important things that we wanted to cover. So I'm going to read through this list and then we'll talk about them all. But as we lead through them, think about what each one means to you. Like, what do you think it means when you first hear about it? And then at the end, let's talk about why these, just doing these, this very simple process of name and explain is going to give you a lot more credibility as a leader. Okay. So, are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay, you look ready. You were born ready.
Yes, I was born ready.
Okay, so here are the 11 superpowers. Now, remember, it started out as four and then five and then eight and then not 10 and then 11. So we got to be careful. It'll turn into 12 or 13 if we don't watch out. It's like rabbits, they breed. Okay, so the first thing is actually, I think it's really surprising. Oh, but I won't tell you about it in detail now. I'm just going to name them first. So the number one, name stresses. Two, create anticipation. Three, share information. Four, create vocabulary. Five, teach concepts. Six, escape the bounds of time. That's an adventure right there. Seven, ask for permission. Eight, ask for compliance. Nine, thank you. 10, apology. And 11, boundaries. And then we're going to end by talking about how this is going to make you a much more effective leader with animals. If you were walking down the street with your elephant, as you do, and the elephant started to get upset about a mouse that was running across the path, What is the single most effective thing you could do to help that elephant cope with the stress of that scary mouse?
Name the stress.
Yeah. Very good. Name the stress. Now, this isn't me making this up, okay? Lisa Feldman Barrett wrote a book, How We Construct Emotions. And research has shown that when somebody is in extreme stress, the most effective thing you can do is name what's going on. Don't lecture them. Don't tell them it's okay. Don't tell them to cope. Don't tell them anything except what it is going on. Now, do you have any idea why that would even help? Does that sound like it should be really helpful?
It sounds like it should be helpful.
So let me give you an example. You live in Southern California, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I used to live in Southern California. So let's imagine we went to downtown LA together. And all of a sudden, you heard gunshots. How would you feel?
Scared, nervous. I'd probably want to run.
Okay, so what if you look at me and I'm just looking like this? Everything is beautiful. I'm just looking at the sky. Everything's fine with me. Would that make you feel confident?
I would think something's wrong.
Exactly. We're in California. You have no idea what I'm smoking. The fact that I don't tell you that I hear gunshots makes you wonder if I'm even aware of what's going on. But what happens if I turn around and say, Joseph, we're right next to the police firing range, and that's why you hear gunshots. How do you feel now?
That would relieve me a little bit more.
Yeah. What about if before we even went to downtown LA, I told you, Joseph, we're going to go right next to the police firing range. So you're probably going to hear gunshots, but yeah, they're not to be worried about because they're inside the firing range. Unless you see me trying to hit the ground, in which case you try to get there first. Now you're prepared. And when we hear the gunshots, you might not even worry about it at all. So it's much better leadership for me to tell you ahead of time. That brings us to number two, which is create anticipation. Now, I went back to graduate school and I got a master's in education because I wanted to understand how they teach humans. You would not believe how much attention they give to this subject, how to create anticipation, because they made it very clear to us, we don't actually teach anything. We facilitate learning. Every individual creates their own learning. We just help them. So you want to prepare them for the information you're going to be presenting. You want them to know that it's important and what they can get out of it. So imagine if you came to a seminar on training that I was given and you come in the door and I go, Joseph, it is your lucky day. Because if you can tell me how many red cars are parked outside this building when you came in here, you're going to get $1,000. Do you jump for joy or are you frustrated?
I would say it's that anticipation building.
Yeah, but you already came in the door. How many red cars were parked outside? What's wrong with what I did? Do you know how many red cars were parked outside?
Nope.
Why not? Don't you know what the color red is? Can't you count? Why don't you know how many red cars are parked outside?
There could be a ton of red cars that I just saw as I was just coming in.
Yeah, you weren't prepared to collect that information. So if I tell you, if you know this ridiculous detail, why would you pay attention to that, right? You could get $1,000. If I were you, I would just feel gypped. Like, yeah, why didn't you tell me on my way in so I could count them? Once again, the best thing is to tell them ahead of time. Because if I say to you, hey, Joseph, count how many red cars are parked outside, because when you come inside, I have a surprise for you. And then you come inside, I say, how many red cars were there? You tell me 10. And I said, wow, that's a correct number. Here's your $1,000. Now, how do you feel?
More like I had the anticipation.
But also, are you glad you knew how many red cars there were?
Yes.
I mean, because if you don't want that $1,000, just hand it back to me. I'll be
take
happy.
$1,000.
Yeah, no, wait, we're going to fight over it. Okay. So once again, if you create the anticipation ahead of time, it's more powerful. Not only that, if I tell you information that's going to earn you $1,000, are you going to be more inclined to listen to me or less?
More inclined.
Absolutely. So that takes us to the third thing, share information. Share it all the time as a matter of course, because the animal learns a lot about what we're saying just by being around us, but they don't know what's going to happen. Can you imagine if you were a prisoner with some very nice people, but they never told you anything what was going on, and they went through all this labor to make your food every day, but they gave you food you didn't like? And
I would not want food that I like.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you would be frustrated. Nobody's finding out what's important to you. Nobody's telling you what's happening. You're being treated like you're not smart enough to understand or have an opinion or anything else. But when you share information, a lot of times the animal can just relax and feel better about things. And guess what? As we do that, it takes us to number four. We're going to create vocabulary. So what's vocabulary? Well, they're word labels. They're labels for anything and everything. You can name everything for your animal. You can name toys, items, activities, locations, individuals, weather, the day of the week. You name it, you can name it. So you're going to build all this vocabulary. And that leads us to number five. You're going to be able to teach concepts. Now, how do you think of, do you have a clear idea of what a concept is compared to vocabulary?
I would say the concepts would be like you're breaking down the training in approximations.
All, you're going in the right direction, but we're talking about the things that are around the animal and how they relate in categories. So right versus left, the concept of left side versus the concept of right side, over versus under, plastic versus metal, fast versus slow. Okay, so these are concepts. So concepts are how things that we name, things that are named by vocabulary, relate in the animal's mind. Oh my gosh. I told you we had to be careful because we would create more things. And we just created another one, which is mental mapping. But before we go to mental mapping, when you teach concepts, we work in opposing pairs. So you notice I said left versus right. If you just go and try to show the animal left 20 times in a row, He cannot clearly distinguish it from something else. So how are you going to teach him? Are you going to teach him on his left side? You're going to touch his left ear? Maybe he thinks that when you say left, you mean ear. Or if you turn to the left 20 times, maybe he thinks that left means you're turning and not the direction of the turn. But if you say, we're going to turn left, and you turn left, and then you use exactly the same words, except you add right instead of left. Now we're going to turn right. Everything is the same. You're turning in both cases. What is the one difference? The direction.
Now, when you're teaching these concepts, could you also throw in a target just to show, hey, this is the direction I want you to go in?
Yeah, we do it all the time. We use targets, but we'll talk about that more in detail later. But when I use a target, I get rid of the target very quickly. So, can you see my hands here?
Yes.
I've got my two-finger target, and now I've got another hand that represents a station target. So let's say I'm going to teach a send away. So I call the animal to the two-finger target. Then I say, okay, here, X, here. And when the animal touches the station target, where my two fingers have gone also, X, station. Here, X, station, X. Here, X, station, X. Here, X, station, X. Here, X. And right there, I just taught a send away. But once I teach the send away, all I need is the target at the end location. And I just send the animal out with a snappy point like that. Or if I'm going to teach walk, I start out with a target and I say, okay, you're here. Can you target here? Then we're going to walk to that point. And as we go to that point together, good, you're walking. Okay, we're here, and now we're going to walk to the target. Good, 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 good. That's walking. You want to run to the target? Here, good, 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 good. Okay, so then we teach walking. We get rid of the pole target and everything right away. So the vocabulary makes life really a lot better. When I was at National Zoo, we could run around the pool with targets for the seals and sea lions, 125-foot long pool, 16 feet deep. Ask me how I know. You know what it's like to run through a bed of ivy? Sheesh, it could kill you. So can you imagine doing that? And we had 9 animals in there sometimes. Can you imagine trying to do that with 9 targets, one for each animal? Or even one target for all those animals? You ever try running with a target through ivy? This is why you do it this way, okay? These are, but anyway, we digress. We're back to our thing of creating concepts using opposing pairs. And now here is the bonus point. We use name and explain to help create mental maps. Do you know what those are?
Nope.
Okay. In operant conditioning, the learning is rote. It's unconscious learning by repetition. Nobody ever explains to the animal what is happening. They just try to set it up so it happens the way they want it to. And when it does happen, they click, and they don't even name the behavior till they consider it perfect. Well, we're not like that. We're like parents of kids. We put the kids in the car and we say, we're going to the park. And the kids go, yay, what's a park? And we say, you're going to find out. So what am I doing then? I say, you're going to find out. I am creating
mental maps.
No, anticipation. The mental map. Okay. They're going to figure it out on the way. They know they're on an adventure right now to find out what's a park. So then as we go, I'm going to name all the things we go by and what we're doing. And I'll say, oh, we're in the car and now we're going to drive. And as the wheels turn, I say, we're driving. Look, we're going past the street. Oh my goodness, there's a clown on the corner. Do you see that clown? Then I might say, we've only gone one block and we saw a clown. I wonder what's in the next block. And then we drive to the next block and I say, wow, let's count how many dogs we see. We have. So when I say, let's count how many dogs we see, what did I just do there? It's a trick question.
You shared information.
Well, I'm back to creating anticipation. Because I said, what will we see?
Oh, okay.
Okay. But wait for it. As we go along, maybe the kids have never seen a clown. I go, that's a clown. A clown is somebody that's dressed up with weird makeup on. That's a dog. You know a dog because we have a dog. Oh my goodness, that's a camel. Maybe the kids go, what's a camel? Well, that's a camel. How is it like a dog? Well, it's bigger than a dog. Yes. And look, it has humps. You can probably always recognize a camel because it has humps. Now, what's going to be on the next block? Oh my goodness, there are two penguins that are running loose across the street. The kids go, what's a penguin? Well, it's different than a camel. Do you think it's a bird or a fish or a mammal? It looks like a bird, but it doesn't have regular wings. That's right. So what we're doing here is we're naming each thing as we go along. So we're creating vocabulary and we're also teaching concepts about, you know, what kind of animal it is or what's different about a clown versus the people they normally see. And as we relate all these things together, we are helping them to create a mental map. In other words, wow, what is outside my door on the way to the park? What might I see? Okay, there's clowns in the first block. In the second block, there's camels. In the third block, there's penguins. Maybe in the fourth block, we see two more clowns. And maybe now they say, wow, clowns show up when you don't expect them. They're not just in the first block. There are clowns everywhere. How will I be able to see who's a clown and who's not a clown? That's a task that we continue to struggle with for the rest of our lives. Okay, but this understanding of how all the little elements in life interrelate, that is your mental map. So that's where you take all the vocabulary and all the concepts and study how they're related. That's a big one. Now, as you do all this, it's a little more work for you as a trainer, I know. But here's where it really gets magical. In operant conditioning, they talk about how you have to deal with the behavior right in front of you, that your timing has to be really good. When that instant that that animal does the right thing, you mark it with a bridge. You say X or good.
And or you sound a bridge.
Exactly. And then you have to wait for the next behavior before you can say the next thing. Because remember, they don't even have a way to show the animals how to do something. They just wait for them to kind of do it. But that's not what we're going to do. We're going to tell the animal what we're going to do. Not what we're doing right this minute, but what we're going to do. We're going to walk. And you're going to stay right next to my leg with your shoulder right next to my knee. And if you see any dogs, you're going to be easy. And we're going to have a great time. And when we get to your friend's house, you will get to go in the yard and play. Are you ready? Let's go. So I created anticipation. I shared information. I used the vocabulary that we had created. And now we go for a walk. But here's the thing. Did I tell the dog what was happening right that instant? Or did I? Exactly. I told him about.
You told him about the escaping the bounds of time.
Yeah, I told him about the future. So let's say we had to go to the vets today, or like a zoo animal. Maybe the vets came down and did a workup on the animal, and the next day they have to come back and check something again. And I might say, okay, yesterday the vet came and he looked at your tooth. And today they're going to come back and he's going to look at your tooth again. But it will take longer than it did yesterday. So all you have to do is open your mouth, hold it open for the count of 20. And 9 times out of 10, that animal will be able to just do that thing that I described without ever being specifically trained to do that thing. So I related it to a past experience, and he already had the vocabulary to recognize what we were talking about. And I told him how it was going to relate to an experience that hadn't happened yet. Now, as we go through these experiences, the animal is studying time and tense. So, you know, these people that say dogs have no sense of the present or the past or the future, they are wrong, 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 wrong. If you systematically talk about these things with your animals, they will certainly develop an understanding of them. So we don't have to just address the behavior that just happens to be happening in front of us. We can talk about every behavior. We can say to the animal, remember yesterday when you jumped up really high and straight? Okay, I want you to spin, but I also want you to jump as high and straight as you can. You ready? Let's try it. This turbocharges your training. And it's way, way, way more efficient and powerful than just waiting till the animal gets to be pretty proficient at something before you name the behavior. So we name the behaviors when we first start them. And then we develop the animal's understanding about them as we work through the behavior. Now, did you realize that training could be done that way?
I did not.
Have you seen it being done that way?
No.
Okay, well, as we go on with this podcast, we're going to see and talk about this more and more. I am telling you, you are going to love this.
Now, I've only been conditioned to see operant conditioning.
Yeah. And again, operant conditioning is rote unconscious learning. Now, have you been told that you need to get a correct behavior 8 times in a row before you change something in a trial in operant conditioning?
I've just been taught if the animal does something incorrectly, wait for 3 seconds or 2 seconds, the LRS.
Yep. So for those who don't know, the LRS is just a little pause where you just wait for a second.
Least reinforcing scenario.
Yep. So the simpler form is a timeout. The LRS is a little more complicated than that. But yeah, if you don't like it, you're quiet and you don't acknowledge it. Can you understand? Let's say, like as we've worked on the podcast, if every time I thought you needed to improve something, I wouldn't tell you what it was I wanted you to change. And let's say we did an introduction, I didn't quite like it, and I just went like this. for 3 seconds. Can you imagine how much time we'd waste?
A lot.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to get anything done.
Yeah, because we've had to change a lot of things already, right? Oh, well, we're works in progress. Okay, so now we're going to get to 4 related things that probably are going to make people think, what? But these are actually really important. I think this next thing is perhaps the most important thing for animal trainers to do, and that is ask for permission. Ask for permission to do anything, to touch the animal, to move into their space, to take their toy, to put them in a crate, to pick up their food. Just respect them and ask their permission. And we literally will tell them what we want and wait for the count of 3. Because when you give verbal information, the animal needs a little bit of time to process what you said. So if I say, I'm going to touch your ear, 1, 2, 3. Good, 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 good. That's your ear. And then I get out of there. The first time I just name the ear. There I'm creating vocabulary, right? Then I might say, that's your left ear. Can I touch your left ear? Good, 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 left ear. Now I might say, do you have a right ear? What am I doing there?
Asking for compliance.
Yes. No, 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 not yet. Not yet. Do you have a right ear? That is creating anticipation. Because the animal's going, ear, I just learned what an ear was. And she calls this one the left ear. Do I have any more ears left? Yes, I have one over here. Maybe that's the right ear. And what we'll see sometimes is the animal will give just a little twiggle of his right ear. And I'll say, yes, that's your right ear. Good, 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 as I go to touch his right ear. But I ask for permission first. And if you want to see how powerful it is, if you go to cinnalia.com/press, and watch the first video as you scroll down to the bottom of the page. It's of Jordy the rhino. And we need to stick a syringe tube into the hole on his horn that leads to a painful abscess underneath his horn. Now, can you see any reason to ask a rhino's permission before you go sticking needles in his horn?
Yes.
I could too. But they had been trying to do this for 8 months and we did it in a single training session. And you can actually see a lot of the video in real time if you go to the press page on the website. Okay, so we're going to ask permission. If you ask for permission, amazingly, you can tell an animal, I need to stick this needle in your skin. It's going to hurt. May I stick this needle in your skin? And they will give you permission, even though it's painful. And we do it with people all the time at seminars. And they'll say, I don't understand why an animal will let you stick a needle in its skin just because you ask for permission. And I'll say, okay, well, can I try it with you? Yes, fine. Okay, may I have your permission? You see this needle, it's going to hurt. Or maybe I'll say, I'm going to pinch your skin as hard as I can with my nails. I think it's going to really hurt. Could I try it? And they'll go, okay. And then I'll sit there, just give them a good pinch. And they'll wince a little bit. And I'll go, ooh, did that hurt? And I'll go, yes. And I go, okay, sorry, it hurt. I need to do it again, but I need to do it worse. Can I do it worse? Yes, okay. So then I'll really get them and they'll really wince. And then I'll say, oh, wow, thank you so much. I need to do it one more time. And this will hurt the worst of all. May I have your permission? And they'll go, yes. And they'll get ready for it. And then I'll say, why? Why are you giving me permission to stick a needle in your skin or to pinch your skin? And they look at me like I'm an idiot. And they go, because you asked permission. Like asking permission is magical. Similarly, that takes us to was number 8, but now it's number 9 because we stuck in mental mapping in there. Ask for compliance. So once I understood how training really worked, I pretty much stopped ordering animals around. Instead of going flip or high jump or spiral, I'll go, hey, can you give me a great flip? Yes. Or can you do a spiral? Can I touch your ear? Can I stick this needle in your skin? I asked for compliance. I quit ordering the other beings around. You know what? I get over 93% compliance. Over 93% compliance. Now, I will guarantee you, as a dolphin trainer, it's tough to get 93% compliance with dolphins. From watching training sessions, have you ever figured out what the compliance actually really is?
No, because it's hard to communicate with them with verbal words, especially since they can't understand our pitch.
Oh, they can. They just haven't learned it yet. You know, it's like learning another language. You have to actually teach them what our words mean. But they can learn very, very quickly. Okay, so we talked about asking for compliance rather than ordering animals around. That's one of the things we do with our name and explain. Now let's talk about saying thank you. So saying thank you is different than bridging. Bridging is a marker. It's a condition marker. That means it's not like words. It doesn't have variable content. It means you did it right. You did it right. You're on the right path. You're on the right path. You're on the right path. You did it. Congratulations.
Now here's your positive reinforcement.
That's exactly right. That's only part of it, right? Because when we created anticipation, we're also creating dopamine. And there is our positive reinforcement also. Okay. But when you, after you bridge the animal, you can turn around and say, thank you so much. That was outstanding. You do an amazing job for us. So you can use name and explain to create or to communicate your sincere appreciation, your sincere admiration. So the bridges tell the animal he did it correctly and he followed the correct path, but the thank you tells them all the other great things about what you guys do together as a team. Here's one that's just as important. Apologies. Have you ever accidentally stepped on your dog? Well, like on your dog's toes. Yeah. And what do you do when you do that?
I apologize.
Good for you. Good for you.
And then my dog's like, why are you apologizing?
Not mine. Mine are like, well, I'm glad you noticed that you stepped on me. Thank you. I was feeling a little overlooked. Or how about if I say to my horse, Sarah, okay, let's turn left, and I start to walk to the right. And Sarah shoots me a look like, hello. And I realize I made a mistake. I go, I'm sorry. I mean your other left. And then we go ahead and go. But I take responsibility for my errors. Now, I'll tell you a funny thing. This is really the truth of what happened. A fantastic trainer from the Netherlands came over to intern with me. Her name is Annette Schultze. And we were doing some, I don't know, you could call them dance movements or whatever with my horse, Sarah. So all three of us were lined up and we're going to turn like a chorus line, right? So like a straight bar. And I realized Sarah wasn't keeping up. So when we do this, I have to back into Sarah's shoulder if we're going to turn left. and she has to go faster to get around me. And I kind of got on her. I kind of said, Sarah, you got to go faster. And she shoots me this look like, that isn't fair. And I thought for a minute, I go, Annette, I think Sarah's a little upset because I'm telling her she didn't go fast enough, but she's trying to wait for you and you're slow. Do you mind if I also tell you that you need to go faster? Oh, yes, of course, of course. Like, she's a very good trainer. She wants to be fair to Sarah. So I said, Annette, Sarah cannot keep up because she's trying to wait for you. Can you please go faster? Oh, yes, of course, of course. So then, of course, I slow down a little bit and I back into Sarah. And Annette is literally running her feet off to keep up because it's a lot harder to be the outside of this thing. And we get a quarter turn around. I go, X, that's perfect. Everybody did perfectly. And Annette goes, well, good, good, good. Glad to. And Sarah turns around and looks at Annette and just gently touches her with her muzzle, like, are you okay, Annette? I know she was really hard on you. So that's what it does for us when we apologize, when we fairly recognize, you know, who made the mistake or whose problem it is or whatever. And once again, that makes you a more credible leader. Because rather than saying, nope, you did it wrong, you're saying you did it to the best of your ability, but could you still try harder on this thing, whatever? Or I'm the one that made the mistake here. You did it perfectly. I did it wrong. That takes us to the last thing, which is boundaries. And boundaries are a little bit complicated, but what boundaries are is it's the line where something changes into something else. So it could be, there's many different kinds of boundaries. There's self versus other. There's on versus off. There's the perimeter. Are you inside the yard or are you outside of the yard? There are safety boundaries, like how close can you walk to me? Or what do you have to do with your teeth? How do you make sure your teeth stay safe? So there's boundaries, like don't come into my space unless I invite you. And we teach these using name and explain. And that's as much as I'll say about those right now, because those are more complicated teaching tasks. And altogether, these things, I promised I would talk with that we would talk about how they make us more credible, more respected leaders. And I'm kind of wondering, from all the things we've said, do you already have an opinion on why that might be?
I would say it's a good technique. And I think that we should try to move forward from operant conditioning and try to enforce the name and
To really put it to work, right?
Yeah.
Because if you were in the animal's shoes, would you be more likely to follow a leader that told you what was going to happen, that told you what you needed to do to be successful, that taught you about the vocabulary and the concepts, that asked your permission, that thanked you, that apologized when they did something wrong?
Yes. Well,
would you rather work for somebody that just stands in the middle of the room and throws you an M&M when you happen to do the right thing?
I'll take the other one.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you what, Joseph, you're going to find out that as you start to work with animals this way, the animals love learning and they love doing these interesting things. And really the food, they get a plenty of food all the time. How much food have you gotten because you've worked so hard on this podcast? None. I didn't send you any. Oh, you've been eating under your desk. Okay, that's all right. But
yeah, I've been eating under my desk. I'm sorry.
But, you know, that's not why we're doing this, right? And that's how it is when you work with animals, when you really develop your relationship, when you become partners and colleagues rather than master and worker. So name and explain is this incredibly simple practice that is going to jettison you into being the best trainer you can be, just from that one little tool. So I hope you're going to try it out and come back and we'll talk about it some other time, what you find, because you already use it a little bit. So now you've got all these other places to apply it.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us on the podcast and helping it come into being. And we're done. So what do we need
You're
to
welcome.
Help? Thank you. Oh, yeah, you have to give the animal a chance to say thank you, too. So what do we need to tell people now that we've come to the end of our podcast?
Well, thank you for joining us.
Okay. And is there other stuff we're supposed to tell them, or is that it?
Come back and listen for more exciting news and views on animal training.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Here's your host, Casey Cover.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for coming with us. And stay at the head of the pack with Training with Casey and with Joseph. Take care, guys.
Have a good night, guys.